virgin. I cough, choke and sniff, while Sam laughs and Drew looks at me like he wants to rip my head off. He undoubtedly does. I've messed up his suit. He slams his bottle on the counter, nostrils flaring, though his face remains stoic. Married! Drew! There's no question he's found his girl in the beautiful Rhea. I've never seen him so happy and settled, but marriage? I just never imagined he'd venture down that road. Jesse! Drew snaps, brushing down his suit jacket. For fuck's sake, look! I'm sorry! I snatch a tea towel off the side and chuck it at him. What's going on? Kate waddles into the kitchen with some empty plates, Ava in tow. Drew's asking Rhea to marry him, Sam and I declare in unison, making the girls pull to an abrupt stop before they both gasp, hands at their mouths, and then swoon all over Drew. Will you keep it down? She'll hear you, he mutters, throwing the tea towel with force at me before fighting the girls away. It smacks me in the face before I catch it. Hear what? Rhea asks, appearing in the kitchen with a dish balancing in one hand, a glass of wine in the other. Nothing! We all sing, all grinning. Drew rolls his eyes and collects his girl. We're going. We are? Rhea slides the dish onto the counter, looking a bit bewildered as Drew takes her glass from her hand and leads her to the door. What about Georgia? Drew tosses a smirk over his shoulder at me. Uncle Jesse said she could stay.
I did.
We did, Ava pipes up. Have fun, she calls before moving into Kate's side.
Do you think he still has his cock pierced? She whispers in Kate's ear.
What the fuck? I swing an incredulous look at my wife, whose mouth snaps shut quickly, her back going all straight as she looks at me, her lips pressed together. I give her an expectant look, and she shrugs, looking away guiltily.
Just what I've heard,
she bites her lip, glancing at Kate, who chuckles, clutching her belly.
Stop, I'll pee myself.
I glare at Ava. How do you know Drew has his cock pierced? She shrugs, all casual.
Like I said, just something I heard.
I wonder who from, Sam muses. Tossing an accusing look to Kate as he wanders over to her and gets her as close as her stomach will allow. He has to lean forward to get his face in hers.
Explain.
It was a surprise back then, that's all. I felt the need to share. Sam slams a hard kiss on her cheek and then lowers his lips to the top of her stomach, dropping a kiss there too. Close your ears, sunshine, he whispers, looking back up at Kate. She's grinning. Sam's not. Nice to know, out of everything that could have stuck in your head from that night, it's my mate's dick. I start chuckling again, perching on a stool to get comfy and enjoy the show. This party isn't turning out too bad after all. I fold my arms over my chest and swing my eyes from Sam's incredulous face to Kate's dismissive one. Yeah, Kate, I goad as John sticks his head around the door. The kids have got the grandparents playing Twister. I'd pre-book an ambulance if I were you.
Come on.
Ava tugs me from the stool and directs me out of the kitchen. We have parents to rescue before they injure themselves. But I want to watch, I complain, looking over my shoulder. Just catching Sam seizing Kate and swinging her back in his arms. She squeals a squeal that is definitely more delighted than scared. Oh, shit. She laughs. I think I just wet myself. On second thought, I allow Ava to bully me out of the kitchen into the garden where we find each one of our parents twisted into all kinds of mind-bending positions. I'm laughing again, harder when they all collapse in unison, creating a pile of puffing grandparents on the lawn. I'm too old for this, my dad creaks his way up to his feet before helping Mum up too. I clap my hands together, marching my way across the lawn to the enticing, spotty game board. Move aside, folks! I crack my knuckles and give the twins a mischievous grin. The champion's here to defend his title. Here we go! Jacob sighs, booting his football away. I've had enough, Maddie declares.
It's my birthday.
I crouch and pull at the corners of the mat, clearing the plastic of wrinkles before kicking off my shoes. You have to do what I say. I flip up the collar of my Ralph Lauren polo shirt.
Playing, Mrs. Ward? Losing, Mr. Ward?
I snort my thoughts in that. I always win, baby. You should know that by now. Ava pulls her hair up in a ponytail, pouting her lips. Things could be about to change. Another snort of laughter erupts from deep in my belly, backed up by the chuckles of our guests. Glad they think her statement is as hilarious as I do. I'm blue, I announce as everyone backs up, giving us space. Ava is red, Jacob is green, and Maddie is yellow. Who goes first?
The youngest goes first, Jacob pipes up, which is me.
Only by 2 minutes, Maddie protests. I hold my hand up, halting the impending row. 2 minutes or 2 years, Jacob is the youngest.
Jacob first.
Ava moves in closer, her eyes narrowing to my challenging slits. Maddie's second, me third, and you, my dear husband, at a whooping 50, will go last.
Don't think you can distract me by taunting me, I warn, gesturing for Jacob to get on with things. I focus on the game, and more importantly, winning it.
John, Sam, and Kate join the small crowd with Drew's daughter, Georgia, and we all take our first move. It's all pretty straightforward, everyone's stable, and everyone confident. 10 minutes later, me, my wife, and our babies are a tatty tangle of arms and legs, and our audience is laughing.
Dad, Maddie gripes, your big leg is in my way.
Good, I laugh, not losing a scrap of focus.
This way, Maddie. Sam crouches beside my girl, showing her the way to the spinner.
No helping, I yell,
turning my face and getting a mouthful of Ava's hair. I catch her eye and forget my grievance. I also forget my concentration, her boobs within licking distance.
Don't even think about it, Ward, she whispers. Whenever, wherever, baby.
Not while playing Twister with our kids in front of your parents. My arms shake a little from the strain of holding myself up. It doesn't help that both Jacob and Maddie are leaning on me in one place or another, and Ava is virtually suspended over my torso. They're all being tactical, picking on me, but I won't break. No way.
You're doing this on purpose, I accuse.
I close my eyes and focus, hearing clapping and encouragement from everyone, meaning Maddie just made her move and she's still in the game.
Your go, Mum, the twins chant.
Oh, if I can just stretch to reach the spinner. Ava's body pushes harder into mine.
Focus, focus, focus.
Something soft and squishy presses against my mouth. Something I recognize. I open my eyes and come face to face with boobs. I can't help it. My mouth opens and I take a bite.
Ow, Jessie!
She collapses on me, taking out the kids too. You big fat cheat! I laugh, rolling over and trapping Ava beneath me. She huffs and puffs for effect for a few moments, making a pathetic effort to try to bat me away. The kids are muttering their disgust, our parents are tutting, and Kate and Sam are laughing with Georgia and John. But it's the woman I'm spread all over that has my attention.
You lose, I whisper, planting a light peck on her nose.
Her grin is instant, and so is the swelling of my heart.
No, I win.
She grabs my hair and hauls me down to her lips, and I roll her off the mat onto the grass.
We're having sleepy sex tonight, I tell her.
Oh, God, Maddie squawks. Mum, Dad, please!
We both laugh past each other's lips, but we don't ease up. Not now. Not ever.
Chapter 4. It's late. The kids are in bed, our guests have left, and I can hear Ava faffing in the kitchen. I wander through, stopping at the door to admire her for a few moments. She's getting the coffee machine loaded, ready to flick on in the morning, something she does before bed most nights, as well as setting the kids' favorite breakfast cereals on the island. I wait until she's done and is rubbing cream into her hands before I quietly creep up behind her. I'm virtually silent, but she doesn't need to hear me to know I'm close. Her spine straightens, her hands pausing in their movements. I push my front to her back and drop my mouth to her ear. "Get in the bedroom now," I order, quiet but stern. She turns slowly, rubbing against me, the friction sending my body temperature through the roof. I scoop her up and cradle her in my arms, taking her mouth as I walk us to our room. She hums against my lips. I hum against hers. Fucking heaven. Our lips don't part the entire way to the bedroom, and it's a challenge to give up our kiss when I make it to the bed. Dropping her down, I pull my t-shirt up over my head and throw it aside. Ava's teeth sink into her bottom lip, her gaze hungry. "Like what you see?" I ask, confident of the answer. Call me an egomaniac. I couldn't give a fuck. I push my jeans down my thighs with my boxers, waiting for an answer. She's daydreaming. "Hey!" I click my fingers, snapping her out of it. "Well?" The tiniest of frowns mars her brow. "What did you say?" I smile. Her question is a good enough answer for me. "I like your dress." I reach forward and tug at the silky black fabric, smiling when I hear her pull in a breath. "But it's a bit restrictive." "Take it off," she demands, full of impatience. Her hunger for me only intensifies my hunger for her. But I still toy with her desperation. "What do you say?" I see the need to fight me in her eyes, but my wife learned fast that giving me what I want gets her what she wants much quicker. "Please." Her plea is much more than a plea. It's a fucking turn-on like no other. Her dress is gone in the space of a few short breaths, her underwear even faster. Resting a fist on the mattress, I crawl up the length of her body, licking my way up her inside thigh, growling under my breath when I pass her sweet, soft, dripping pussy. Her groan stretches out forever, her spine arching, pushing her breasts upward. I circle her left nipple with a firm, slow lick. Fuck, she tastes good. She sighs, her hands going to my head and wrestling with my hair. "You're a fucking god, Ward." I bite down on her nipple in warning, but otherwise let her potty mouth pass, as I walk my fingers across her stomach and plunge them deep inside her core. "Oh, you're so fucking ready," I say as she cries out. I withdraw and settle myself atop of her, grabbing my aching cock and leveling it up. "Hard or soft, baby?" "Soft," she sighs, all breathily and happily, her palms resting on my hips and pulling me down. I sink in slowly, struggling to catch my breath as the pleasure ripples through me. "Like that?" I ask, hitting her deep. "Just like that." I withdraw, the feel of her walls stroking me, forcing me to my forearms. "Why are we so fucking good together, lady?" "I know," she agrees, sinking her nails into my ass. Her gaze finds mine, and I know that's exactly where it'll stay until I bring her to climax and she's forced to close her eyes. It's one of my favorite views. The passion and need in her face, her light pants heating my skin, it's debilitating. This woman has me captivated every day of our lives together. Not just when I have her in my arms or when I'm buried deep inside her, but with everything she does. Every time she looks at me, speaks to me, touches me, I'm the luckiest man alive, and I thank the fates every minute of every day. I love her with a fierceness that gets stronger by the second. "I love you too," she whispers, reading my mind. "And I'm lucky too. Her hands move from my arse and come up to my face, her thighs wrapping around my waist. She holds my face firmly as I maintain a careful, slow pace of my hips, rocking into her gently.
You are my life, Jesse Ward. You keep my heart beating.
I smile a small smile, nodding my understanding, keeping our eyes locked as I catch her lips. Our kiss mirrors the delicacy of our lovemaking until I slow it to nothing and our lips are simply touching. And my heart will only ever beat for you, I whisper, balancing on the edge of explosion. Are you there? I'm there. Her face glowing up at me confirms it, and I thrust a fraction harder a few more times, carrying us over the edge together. My body soaks up her trembles, the tremors going straight to my heart. It fills with feelings so strong I once again find myself trying to wrap my mind around the reality of our beautiful existence. I don't think I ever will. We gasp into each other's faces, a million silent words of wonder bouncing back and forth between us. Neither of us needs to speak those words. We both know. I take her left hand from my cheek and kiss her wedding ring, and then weave our fingers together, squeezing tightly and resting my face in her damp neck. Was it good for you? I ask.
Ish,
she sighs, and I smile against her throat, kissing lazily, small pecks here and there. Tub time? She asks softly. I hold still for a moment, thinking. Tub time? I can hear those cogs kicking in. She laughs a little. She's right. Tub time equals tub talk. What does she want to talk about? I pull my face from her throat and lift a questioning eyebrow. Is there something you want to tell me? My wife knows I'm at my weakest when she's naked, wet, and spread all over me. No, I just thought it would be nice to have a soak together. Ava's wet nakedness slipping all over mine. I slip free from a tight warmth on a small hiss, my cock still twitching from the aftermath of my climax. Bubbles? Lots. Whatever my lady wants. I shoot up off the bed and head to the bathroom, flipping on the taps and pouring in a huge dose of bubble bath before swishing the water around. It seems to take fucking ages for the water to reach halfway up the side. And when I'm happy with the depth, I jump in, wafting the bubbles upward. Ready, I call. Within a few seconds, I hear Ava laughing. Where are you? I flap my hands, clearing some of the bubbles in front of my face, and grin when I find her standing by the door. Your god awaits. I offer my hand, and she wanders over, still laughing, making a point of blowing some more bubbles from my nose as she lowers in front of me. I sigh a very fucking contented sigh as she settles between my thighs, my arms and lower legs wrapping her up tightly, my eyes closing in pure peace. The sensation of her palms stroking over the hairs on my legs is hypnotic. Utter fucking bliss. It's silent for a few moments. Gloriously silent and peaceful. Until Ava breaks it.
Jesse?
Hmm? About my boobs. My eyes flip open. I fucking knew it. Wants to soak with me in the bath, I scoff. You mean the perfect boobs that your husband loves just the way they are? Those boobs? I can't see her, but I know she'll have just pulled off an eye roll worthy of an award. Yes, those boobs. Forget it! I feel her shift under my hold, so I hold her tighter. Let me see you. No. Jesse! Water starts to splash around us until I'm forced to release her, a risk flooding the bathroom. For fuck's sake! I breathe as she spins over, resting a palm on each of my pecs and bringing her front down to mine. The tips of our noses meet. I'm not going over this again. No way. Those boobs are fucking perfect. And, more to the point, they're mine. I nod my head to myself, determined to stand my ground, no matter how much she begs and no matter what she promises me.
No, I say firmly. Not even for 1 million jars of Sun Pat and 2 million apology fucks. No. But I hate them, she whines, pushing out her bottom lip. I reach down and sink my teeth into it. Ouch! The answer will always be no. She wrenches herself free of my bite, hissing in pain as she does. Call me unreasonable, but it can't hurt as much as what she's suggesting. Just listen. My hands sacrifice her ass to cover my ears. Definitely not. Jesse. I close my eyes. I'm not listening. I feel her lift from my body, obviously accepting that she's going to get nowhere. Good. I hope she's thinking about how unreasonable she's being. A boob job? I scoff to myself in my darkness. She's got more chance of me divorcing her. When I've heard no sounds for a good few minutes, I assume she's given up and the coast is clear. So I gingerly open one eye to check I'm alone. I'm not. I'd snap my eyes closed again, but something in her hand just caught my eye. The shower hose. She's pulled it from the cubicle and has it pointed at me in the bath. I frown, suddenly noticing that the water has drained from the tub. No. I try to get up quickly, slipping and sliding over the remaining bubbles coating the enamel of the bath. Ava! I'm hit with water. Freezing, fucking cold shards of torture. Fuck! I lose my footing and crash to the bottom of the tub. Ava, for fuck's sake! Say you listen to me, she demands, moving in as far as the length of hose on the showerhead will allow, which is pretty fucking close. My whole body goes into shock, leaving me at my evil wife's mercy. 3, I chatter, wondering what I can do when I get to 0. I don't know, but it'll be bad. So fucking bad. 2. I start to shake like a twat, unable to escape. Jesus, I feel like hypothermia is setting in. Ava! Will you listen? I can't even bring myself to get to 0. I'm too fucking cold. Okay, for fuck's sake, okay. The water shuts down in an instant, and I scramble from the bath and flop to my back on the floor, shivering. Get me a towel, you evil witch! A soft bundle of cotton lands on my face, and I make quick work of scrubbing up my body. Why would you do that? I snap, incensed. If my legs weren't frozen solid, you'd be getting the ultimate of all retribution fucks right now. I look forward to it, she snipes, putting the hose back in the shower. Then she wanders over to me until she has one foot in either side of my chest. She lowers and plants her ass on my stomach, her hands on my pecs, and starts rubbing over my goosebump skin. Let me warm you up. How kind. I need an oven, a quick 10 minutes at 180 degrees. I'm cold to the bone. The surgeon said that a little... I choke on nothing. You've seen a surgeon already? Please, God, tell me it wasn't a man. You said you'd listen. And I fucking hate what I'm hearing, Ava. I push her off me and get to my feet, stomping away. I can't even look at you. I head for the dressing room, where I rip down a clean T-shirt from a hanger. I don't know why, I always sleep naked, but I need something to do with my hands, or I'm likely to strangle her beautiful neck. If it was a bloke, don't tell me. I could throw up. Okay. I swing around, outraged. So it was a bloke you flashed my boobs to. She shrugs. You just told me not to tell you. But you just bloody did. What the fuck, Ava? I pull my T-shirt over my head and wrestle my arms through the sleeves, getting myself all caught up. Fuck! It's just a boob job. I stop trying to get my T-shirt on, leaving me with my arms all bent and trapped somewhere around my neck area. Ava's fighting to hold back her smirk. Just get a knife and kill me, because it'll hurt a lot fucking less than what you're suggesting. I realize my stupidity the moment the words have left my mouth. Ava's hint of a grin vanishes, and she recoils, her watery eyes dropping to my torso, where two hefty scars mar my skin.
I curse my idiotic arse to hell and back 1,000 times over as I calmly untangle my arms and pull my T-shirt down my body, hiding my scars from my wife's sad eyes. I'm sorry, I breathe, feeling nothing short of awful. Our story is epic, but I would rather be missing that particular part. I would never hurt you, she says quietly, turning and walking away from me. I ball my fist and slam it onto my forehead. Baby, wait! I chase after her, grabbing her wrist and swinging her around. She doesn't fight me. She does the exact opposite, in fact. She launches herself at me and takes on her customary baby chimp hold of me, sinking her face deep into my neck. I couldn't feel any more terrible. I'm sorry. I cling to her, feeling the wetness of her tears on my neck. I know it's been a long time, she hiccups over her words, but just remembering how terrified I was when I thought I'd lost you makes me feel it all again. And I panic, because look how in love I was with you back then. Look how much I needed you. 12 years later, all those feelings have multiplied by a million, and the thought of losing you cripples me, Jesse. She breathes in shakily. I close my eyes and make sure I hold on to her that little bit tighter. No one's gonna take me away, I vow, meaning it with every fiber of my being. You talk like you're indestructible. I am. If I have you and the kids, nothing can touch me, Ava. I force her away and scan her face, wiping her cheeks of tears. We don't talk about the events of that day. Lauren is still locked up in a padded cell somewhere under constant assessment, and there's a restraining order in place in case that ever changes, which I'm advised won't. Premeditated attempted murder, carefully plotted and very nearly carefully executed. No one will be seeing her for a very long time. Don't cry, baby. I'm afraid you're stuck with me. Reaching for my hair, she tugs on a huff mixed with a little chuckle. That's not funny. Shut up and kiss me, woman. She's on me like a lion, all parts of our horrid past pushed away, leaving room for only the good memories. The amazing memories. Memories that we build on every day of our beautiful existence together. Just us and our babies. Chapter 5. As I dip and weave through the traffic in Park Lane the following week, the roof of my DB9 Volante down, the wind rushing past, I dial Drew to pass the time on my way to the health club. Just passing the time. Afternoon, I greet, all chipper when he answers. Yes, what do you want? That's no way to greet a friend. I grin to myself as I sail through an amber light and switch lanes, ignoring the honking of some knob in a Bentley. What do you want? He repeats, sounding utterly bored by the conversation that hasn't even got off the ground yet. I'm about to remedy that. Just wondering how you're feeling now you're claimed for life. I was claimed for life before I put a ring in a finger. I smile, all warm and fuzzy on the inside for my mate. We'd honestly lost all hope for the kinky fucker by the time Araya came into his life. Congratulations, mate. I'm happy for you. So when's the big day? A couple of months. Exact date to be confirmed. Shit, you're not messing around, are you? Did you just say that? He laughs, truly amused. You had Ava down the aisle within weeks of meeting her. I smile as I zip into my designated parking space outside the club and hop out, grabbing my sports bag from the boot. Go big or go home. I've just got to the club. I'll catch you later. Hanging up, I jog into reception, looking around for John. Hey, Gabby, I call to one of the girls who works the reception area. You seen the big man? A neon pink, claw-like talon points up the stairs to the gym floor. Trying out the new weight machines. I take the stairs two at a time, emerging into the open-plan gym at the top. It's quiet now. The mums all departed to go collect their kids from school. Another hour and it'll be crammed again, after everyone has knocked off work. I spot John across the way, and put my hand out when he nods to me as he loads weights onto the end of a bar. I hope I'm still lifting when I'm his age. He makes time every day in between helping us run this place so we can keep that huge body huge. He flicks his head, telling me he'll meet me in the office, so I make my way there. I walk in and find Cherry at Ava's desk. Her head flicks up. Jessie. She's up from her chair and quickly straightening out her skirt. Ava asked me to check some invoices before she left to go get Maddie and Jacob. But if there's anything you need... I throw my bag in the couch. I'm good. Tea? Coffee? Water? She comes around the desk smiling brightly. Anything. I falter in my steps toward the filing cabinet, looking back with a curious brow. Was there suggestion in her words just then? I'm good, I repeat, detecting a definite twinkle in her blue eyes. Well, if you think of something. Her teeth sink into her bottom lip. Is she coming on to me? She must be 20 years younger than me. And though it's a painful thought, I can't deny the small part of my ego that thrives in that. Yep, still got it. But this woman needs to be told that I only have it for my wife. Cherry. I turn back toward her and make my way over, seeing her lip slip through her bite, her stance more confident. This needs nipping in the bud pretty damn quickly before Cherry is faced with the wrath of Ava. I shudder, but smile on the inside too. I'm not the only possessive one in our relationship. Perhaps we ought to... I'm cut dead when John strides in, his phone to his ear, talking to whoever is on the other end. The part is missing and I want it here by morning. He hangs up and looks between me and Cherry. All right? Yeah. Cherry was just leaving. She's off across the office fast, quickly closing the door behind her. What was that about? John takes a seat opposite Ava's desk, while I drop into her chair. I think Cherry has a crush. John's low rumbling laugh grates on me. God help her if Ava finds out. I'll have a word. Please do. I wake up Ava's screen and tap in her password, smiling as I do. The Lord 3210. Anything to report? I ask, scanning my emails. John doesn't answer, and I lift my head, catching his straight face. I don't like that face. That's his ultra-serious face. What's up? I ask, wary. Sarah's back in town. That's it. That's all he says, sitting back in his chair quietly while I try to process what just came out of his mouth. I'm still. And suddenly very hot. Though I can't figure out whether it's from fear or anger. Oh, fuck. Shit is going to fly when Ava finds out. I haven't seen Sarah for years, and I have no desire to now. Memories are flooding forward. Too many, too fast. I can't do this again. Uncle Carmichael, Rosie, Rebecca, the car accident. There isn't a day goes by that I don't stop what I'm doing at some point and think about them all. But Sarah... I never think about her or what she tried to do to me and Ava. And I'm not about to now. My life is too perfect. Why, is all I manage. John's huge shoulders jump up in a shrug. Things didn't work out for her in the States. It didn't work out. I don't trust her. I gave her money. I gave her my blessing. But the one thing I couldn't give her was my love. I rake a hand through my hair, feeling so fucking stressed. Tell her to stay away from me and my family. Already done, but this is Sarah, Jessie. I can't watch her every motherfucking second of the day. I frown. Where is she? John doesn't hold back his answer, pulling off his wraparound so I can appreciate how serious he is. Staying with me. I balk at him. But his steely expression doesn't waver, his face pokes straight. Why the fuck would you do that? She's broke, Jessie, and broken too. What did you want me to do, shut my door in her face? Yes! I stand, my temper getting the better of me. Fucking hell, John, have you forgotten what she did to me and Ava? He's up out of his chair like lightning, his big body looming forward. Shut the fuck up, you stupid motherfucker! He slams his fist into the wood. You and Ava are exactly why she's staying at mine. I frown and he goes on. I told her she can stay a few weeks until she gets herself back in her feet, but only if she stays out of your way. I shrink a little. It's not something many people can make me do. Only two people, in fact. My wife and this man right here. The man who has been by my side for over 30 years. My uncle's best friend, and now my best friend. I feel a pang of guilt. Not towards Sarah, but toward my oldest friend. He didn't ask for this. For all the decades this amazing man has been in my life, his loyalty has never once wavered. He's been a rock, looked out for me. I honestly don't know where I would be today without him. And here he is still doing right by me. John, shut up. He gets up, slipping his wraparounds back on. I'm taking care of it. I just didn't want to keep it from you. Thanks, big man. No need. He strides out of the office and I try to breathe in some calm. I can't leave Ava in the dark over this. I grab my phone to call her, but an incoming call flashes up before I can dial. I frown down at the kid's school number, answering quickly, hello? Mr. Ward, it's Mrs. Chilton, Maddie and Jacob's teacher. My heartbeat naturally quickens, as it always does when an unexpected call comes in from the school. I instantly think the worst. One of them has hurt themselves or maybe isn't feeling well. Is everything okay? The kids? Yes, yes, they're fine. My lungs drain with relief, my head falling back in the chair. Then why the call? I'm sure it's nothing to worry about, she begins, obviously making me worry. All sorts of things start flying around in my head, starting with that dirty little pervert who's sweet on my girl. I'll decide that, I reply curtly. You see, your wife hasn't shown up to pick up the children from school. We've tried calling Mrs. Ward's mobile, but it's gone to voicemail each time. We've left a message. She's never late to collect the kids. I glance at my watch to see it's 3:45, a good half hour since school finished. I know, Mr. Ward. Like I said, I'm sure she's simply got caught in traffic and maybe her phone has died. I'm on my way. I hang up and race out the office, nearly taking a startled Cherry from her feet on my way. When did Ava leave? I ask urgently over my shoulder as I sprint past her. 2:30, the usual time. I fight my heart down from my throat, immediately dialing Ava as I run full pelt out of the health club. I land in the seat of my car heavily, and just like I dreaded, Ava's phone goes to voicemail. Fuck! I start my car and speed out of the car park, heading for the main road. Right or wrong, I skip the red light. I'm a 30-minute drive from the school, 20 if I break the speed limit. I try Ava's phone again, but once again get a voicemail, and my worry deepens with every minute that passes and I can't get hold of her. Where are you, beautiful? I hear Ava in my head telling me that I'm neurotic. Well, maybe I am. But nothing will ease my panic until I see with my own eyes that she's okay. I join the road that'll take me to the kids' school, being able to pick up speed now the traffic is moving more freely. I try to pull up the app on my phone that tracks all our cars, but the damn thing won't load. Fuck! I dial Ava again, mentally demanding she answers. Come on. Come on. Hello? Relief. So much fucking relief. But the relief of actually getting an answer dies the second my brain registers that whoever has answered isn't Ava. Who's this? Who's this? I'm the husband of the woman whose phone you have, I state curtly, my patience now completely evaporated. I apologize. The caller ID stated the Lord. Nickname. I mutter, slowly concluding that my silly wife has lost her phone and this lady has found it. Mr. Ward, is it? Your wife is Ava Ward. How do you know my wife's name? She has her phone, not her life story. Her driver's license. It all becomes clear. She lost her bag. I sigh, more relief washing over me, yet my foot doesn't ease up on the accelerator. I'm afraid not, sir. My name is P.C. Barnes. She pauses for a few long seconds. Give me a moment to let that information settle. Mr. Ward? Her voice is noticeably softened. Dread fills me. My heart speeds up. I'm on the scene of a road traffic accident, and I believe your wife is one of the casualties. My tongue thickens in my mouth. What? Sir, her words blend and warp, fading into nothing as I stare ahead at the road. An accident. Casualties. My wife. I see blue lights flashing in my mind's eye, bright and frightening, making me blink to clear them. But they don't fade, and it takes me a second to figure out why. They're not in my mind's eye. They're in the distance. Everything's a blur. Noise, movement, my heartbeat. I hear the sirens. I hear my car screeching to a stop. I hear my car door slamming behind me as I eject myself from my seat. I hear my feet pounding the road as I sprint toward the carnage up ahead, seeing Ava's mangled Mini upended on the opposite side of the road. Oh my God. I choke. Every window is shattered. The two front tires are missing, ripped from the body of the car. Skid marks zigzag the tarmac of the road before abruptly ending. The world starts spinning, my breathing slowing. Crowds of people are blocking my path, and I fight my way through, shoving them to the side as I try to make it to the center of the madness. Please no, I wheeze, staggering mindlessly through the throngs of spectators. Please, God, no! A rough, broken sob rips through my body when I catch sight of the gurney, and my legs buckle, bringing me to my knees. No! Straps circle her body. A breathing mask over her face. Blood is everywhere. She looks utterly broken, so fragile and damaged. My heart shreds in my chest. God, no. The closer I get to her, the more damage I see. Sir, move aside! A paramedic yells, wheeling Ava toward an ambulance. I'm her husband, I tell him, scanning her body, trying to comprehend the amount of blood soaking her. Her head is the worst, her long, dark hair drenched in red. Is she going to be okay? It's all I can think to ask, and it's instinctual, because I don't know if anyone could be okay with this much blood loss. And when I get no answer from any of the rushing paramedics, it becomes clear that they agree with me. A lump in my throat expands as I jog alongside the gurney, tears brimming in my eyes. Her beautiful face is drained of color underneath the blood coating nearly every inch of her skin. Hold on, baby, I demand softly. Don't you dare leave me. Mr. Ward! I look across the bed, seeing a female police officer holding Ava's bag. P.C. Barnes, we spoke. I nod, casting my eyes back to the ambulance where Ava is being hooked up to all kinds of machinery. She didn't show up to pick up the kids from school, I whisper in a daze of ruin. Mr. Ward, come with me, we'll follow the ambulance. No, I'm going with Ava. I shake my head harshly, wiping away the tears. Mr. Ward! P.C. Barnes steps forward, her face soaked in sympathy that I just can't handle. It's wasted because Ava's going to be okay. Damn it, she's going to be okay. I look away from the police officer, seeing urgent hands working on her lifeless body. Your wife is in critical condition, Mr. Ward. You need to give the paramedics space to do their thing. I'll get you to the hospital just as fast. I close my eyes, praying for some stability in my breaking world. This isn't the time to be throwing my weight around, though I'm desperate to go on a rampage until someone tells me she's going to be okay. She has to be okay. I can't exist without her. The thought alone punches a hole through my chest, and I'm forced to bend and brace my hands on my knees to breathe through the bolts of pain attacking me. Mr. Ward. I swallow and nod as I stare at the ground, my stomach turning. I could throw up. Okay, I breathe, trying to focus and getting air into my lungs. But in my current state, I'm not capable of focusing on anything but my prayers. This way, PC Barnes rests a hand on my forearm, gently coaxing me from my daze. But it's the slam of the ambulance doors that brings me back to the circus surrounding me. I walk with purpose toward the police car, looking back at the mangled mess of metal that was Ava's Mini. I'll have a colleague bring your car to the hospital. Do you have the keys? I mindlessly tap my pockets down in search of them. They're in the car, I mutter. And you mentioned your children, Mr. Ward. Would you like me to have someone collect them? She opens the passenger door for me and I fall into the seat. The twins, I say to the windscreen. I said I was on my way. They'll be wondering where I am. I start to root through my pocket for my phone. Ava's friend, I'll call Ava's friend. I dial Kate without thinking, so when she answers, I'm totally unprepared for what to say and my throat closes up on me, leaving Kate calling my name repeatedly and prompt. What do I say? Where do I start? Jesse, are you there? She asks, now full-blown worried. Hello, Jesse? PC Barnes gets into the car beside me and looks across at me where I'm static, my phone hanging limply in my hand. I cough, clearing my throat, but no matter how hard I try to speak, nothing comes. I can't talk. Can't speak the words. Can't tell Kate that her friend looks like she's at death's door. The blood. So much blood. It's Ava. My words fade, my eyes clouding over again. PC Barnes takes my phone and switches on her sympathetic professional tone, speaking calmly as she explains to Kate, without too much detail, that Ava has been involved in an accident and the twins need to be picked up from school. I hear Kate's gasp. I hear her agree without question or prying into details of Ava's condition. She knows. Ask her to call Ava's parents, I mumble. And tell her to tell the twins that Mum's okay. I look across at the ambulance when the sirens come to life and invade my ears. She's going to be okay. After following my request, PC Barnes hangs up and starts the car, pulling out quickly and tailing the ambulance. I just stare at the back doors the whole way. It's the longest journey of my life. Chapter 6 Touch and Go. The words whirl around in my head as I pace the corridor, desperate to be with Ava. If not for John holding me back, I would have burst through the doors into the operating room just to threaten the doctors with their life if they don't save her. Her parents have remained quiet and in shock, sitting on the hard plastic chairs in the corridor, Joseph comforting his wife each time the tears creep up in her and she falls apart. With each second that passes with no news, the ache in my heart intensifies. Such a deep ache. I stop pacing and fall back against a wall, looking up to the tubular lighting of the corridor. She's been in there for hours. How much longer will it be? What are they doing that's taking so much time? A hand lands on my shoulder and Joseph offers a weak smile. Kate's just texted. The twins are fine. She and Sam have been vague with them until we know what's going on. Kate said she'd keep them overnight and take them to school in the morning. I think it's best to try and keep things as normal as possible for now. I nod, a barrage of guilt grabbing me. My thoughts have been so consumed with worry for Ava, I've hardly thought about the kids. What must they be thinking? How they must be feeling? Thanks, Joseph. Are you going to call them? Call them. Speak to them. I can't trust my voice to remain strong, and if I did, what would I say? I'll text them. He nods, understanding. Elizabeth and I are going to get some fresh air and drinks. Do you want some water? I'm fine. Get him some water, John intervenes, and I don't argue. I don't have the strength. After Ava's parents have left us, John drags me over to a chair and forces me down to the seat. I land with a thud and feel immediately restless again. I need someone to come and tell me what the fuck is going on. Should be all right. John's usually booming voice is soft and reassuring, though I take no reassurance from it.
He didn't see the blood, her pale face, the wreck that was her car. I drop my elbows to my knees and bury my face in my palms. She has to be, John. Because if I don't have Ava, then I may as well be dead too. Stop that, you stupid motherfucker. He physically shakes me by the shoulders. You need to be strong, for the kids and Ava. Are you listening to me? His voice gets louder until it's back to its usual penetrating rumble. I nod. It's pathetic, but before I can respond, the doors to the operating room swing open, and I'm up, out of my seat like lightning. Doctor! My heart starts racing, my stomach doing somersaults. Mr. Ward, I'm Dr. Peters. His expression is solemn. Please, take a seat. He points to the chair I've just vacated. No. I refuse, point blank. I don't need to sit down. I hold my breath, begging to God that I really don't need to sit down. That what he's about to tell me won't rip my world apart, and therefore rip me apart. The doctor relents easily, and John gets up, coming to stand close beside me. He's preparing. He's preparing to catch me when I collapse in devastation. Mr. Ward, Ava has had a rather nasty blow to the head that has caused severe swelling on her brain. I stare at the doctor's mouth moving, his words coming slowly and clearly, each one stabbing into my flesh. A nasty cut to her leg severed one of her main arteries too. Between that and her head injury, she's lost nearly 80% of her blood volume. So we're working hard to replace it in a series of transfusions over the next 24 hours. Right now, she's stable but in critical condition. We'll do another CT scan in the morning to see if there's any improvement, but the extent of the damage will only be determined. He fades off, clearing his throat. When she comes around, he finishes meekly, and I just know he held back from adding, if she comes around. My dark world becomes darker, my aching heart clenching painfully. The rest of her injuries are pretty superficial. The odd laceration here and there, and x-rays have confirmed no broken bones. It seems her head took the worst. My mind struggles to absorb the influx of information. Damage, I whisper. You said damage. You mean brain damage. I can't rule it out, Mr. Ward. Ava is being transferred to the ICU. Just as he tells me that, the doors open again and two porters, along with a nurse, push a huge hospital bed into the corridor. I cough on nothing, a low sob forcing me to cover my mouth. Motherfucker, John breathes in, shocked, his arm coming up around my shoulders to hold me upright. She's going to be all right, he says again. But this time I can tell he doesn't really believe it. How could he? I can barely see her past all the tubes, wires, and machinery. But what I can see makes my heart slow to the point I think it might stop. My beautiful girl is grey, the blood loss obvious. My strong, feisty wife looks weak, so small and frail. She looks as broken as I feel. I have the fight of my life on my hands. And I'm feeling like I'm on the cusp of the greatest loss I could ever face. Chapter 7. A nasty blow to her head. Swelling on her brain. A coma. Brain damage. Blood transfusions. Critical. Each word is a stab in the chest. I've barely moved an inch from this chair. I've drifted in and out of sleep, and my hand has been in hers from the moment they allowed me into a room. It's like a fishbowl. Two walls made up of windows, allowing everyone in ICU visual access to my wife. While her skin has taken on more color after the endless transfusions, she's still not awake. There are wires everywhere, machines surrounding her. There's barely enough room for me beside her bed. The CT scan yesterday evening revealed no improvement. Just like yesterday morning's scan. No reduction of swelling. And though I'm trying to be hopeful, I know it's unlikely this morning's scan will show any signs of improvement either. It's been 2 days. I need to see my babies. I have to reassure them that Mummy's going to be okay. That she'll wake up soon and we'll all go home together. Even if I have no idea whether it's true. The sting at the back of my eyes forces me to close them before any more tears can escape. I've stalled letting them come here, hoping and praying that the doctors will give me news so I won't have to lie to my children. But the news I've hoped for hasn't come, and I can't stall any longer. It's time to face my responsibilities and give my kids what they need. Me. Their dad. I'm just so fucking crushed that I can't give them their mum, too. When my phone alerts me of a text from Elizabeth, I force myself to drop Ava's hand and get up out of the chair. My muscles scream their protest, my bones cracking. After dropping a soft kiss on Ava's forehead, I walk down the corridor to the cafe, where I've arranged to meet her parents with the kids. I hear both of the twins before I see them. Two voices calling for me. I come to a stop, seeing their faces for the first time in too long. It takes everything in me not to drop to my knees. I'm fucking broken, but I can't let them see that. Maddie and Jacob crash into me and throw their arms around my torso, cuddling me fiercely, each of their faces buried in my chest. The feel of them against me offers a mild comfort. For the most part, my dread has tripled. Because now they're here. Now I have to be a man and comfort my babies once I've delivered the blow that I know will shatter their worlds. "Where's Mum?" Jacob asks into my chest. "Nan says she's sick. Too sick to see us." I close my eyes, clenching them tightly. "She's going to be okay." I grate the words, not just for the twins, but for me too. "Trust your daddy. She's going to be okay." "I want to see her." Maddie breaks away from me, her face blotchy from tears. "Please, Daddy!" This suddenly doesn't feel like a good idea. Ava doesn't look like herself. She doesn't look like their mum. I crouch down in front of her, taking my little girl's hand. "Darling, I don't think she's..." I clear my throat, pulling myself together to get the words out even and strong. "Mum's not herself. She lost a lot of blood, so she's very pale. Very weak." Maddie's chin trembles, and I look to Elizabeth, shaking my head. "I can't let them see her like that. Look what it's done to me. I'm barely holding myself together." "You can't stop us," Jacob yells, stepping back. "She's our mum." My exhausted body lets me down, and before I can stop him, Jacob takes off down the corridor, Maddie quick on his heels. I drag myself up, watching as my boy slows to let his sister catch up before taking a hand and leading her on. The fact that they don't know where exactly Ava's room is won't faze my babies. Like their father, they are determined. They have a sixth sense when it comes to Ava too. They'll sniff her out in no time at all. I slowly follow, rounding the corner to find them standing at the glass window staring into Ava's room, holding each other's hands. I study them silently. Each of their faces a picture of pure shock. Then Maddie breaks down and Jacob turns into her, grabbing his sister and hugging her. The sight could bring me to my knees, and I once again have to find strength from somewhere to remain upright. It's in this moment that I realize my babies aren't really babies anymore. My 11-year-old son is holding his own emotions in check so he can comfort his sister. My eyes well, and I quickly and roughly brush at them to clear my vision. Elizabeth approaches, looking up at me with tightly pressed lips. I shake my head mildly, showing her the despair I'm fighting to hide from my children and make my way over to them. My arms circle their shoulders, and I hold them tightly, absorbing the jerking of Maddie's body. I kiss the tops of their heads, one after the other, over and over. "She'll be okay." I only just hold myself back from tagging "I promise" on the end, and it kills me to accept that my unwillingness to make that vow is because I never want to break a promise I make to my children. "Are you two listening to your dad? She will be okay."
Those words, they're stupid but unstoppable. They are as good as a promise to